From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're back. The Bleed Blue Show, the Forum for the Fans, first episode of 2019. We're going to talk Knicks basketball, a little bit of NBA, maybe a little bit of everything in sports, whatever is on the people's minds. We're just getting back into the swing of things. We got the wild card football weekend episode on Thursday, so check that out, 7 p.m. So if you're a football fan, NFL fan, definitely tune in 7 p.m. Thursday night as we make our picks for AFC, NFC wild card weekend. Let's get right back into the swing of things. It's good to talk sports again. I was in a little hiatus. If you saw our activity out there in Indianapolis for the Giant game, and you know, shout outs to those who gave us a shout out. We tried to shout out everybody as much as we could. We had our last episode. We discussed with we had a holiday episode, a couple of football episodes on this past Sunday. So. Now we got back into the swing of things with our squads and, of course, sports. As far as the Knicks, real quick, and I'll bring on the stakeholders and we'll have some fun. Just, you know, spirited dialogue. The Denver game, I thought the team was pretty, you know, they played pretty well. They just couldn't seal the deal. They couldn't make stops. But that's nothing new with the Knicks. But the games that disgusted me was the Milwaukee game, the game in Utah. It was really, really unwatchable. But I got to give the Knicks credit, even in the loss, unfortunately, that they played a tough Denver Nuggets team pretty well. They had that in them in some of the games, but they just could not make defensive stops, and that was killing them. And Jokic had a monster game. He did a lot of passing from the mid-range, from the free throw line, from the corners, finding guys cutting, and I think that really killed the Knicks. Beasley for the Nuggets had a monster game as well. He had a career night. You know, let's talk with the stakeholders and have some dialogue with this, man. Mr. Lai, what's up, man? It's been a while talking Knicks basketball, talking NBA. We're going to talk all sports as well, whatever's on people's minds, and then we'll just have some fun, man. What's up, bro? How's everything?
Everything good, Steve. You know what I'm saying? Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. Actually, stay right there. Stay right there before you go in. We'll bring on Dom, give him a shout-out, and then I'll let you go ahead and fire away. But Dom, what's going on? Happy New Year, bro.
Happy New Year, guys. What's up, Steve?
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, man. Happy New Year. Mr. Lott, what's on your mind, man, with our squad or anything, man? And then we'll go to Don.
I love the Knicks, man. You know what I'm saying? Passionate about them dudes, man. I think I'm more in love with what they could be, man, and kind of, you know, what they were as far as how I felt about them in the 90s, you know. I run into these things, man, you know, that kind of, you know, just like society, man, kind of ruin your image of it, which is like you know, the Knicks could be, you see, even as small as they are, you know, even as garbage as what other people think they are, right? You know what I'm saying? This year, and, you know, I guess give credit to, you know, Fizdale, but he got some really young, raw guys playing the right way. You know, so when you talk about the tank, which I do often, and it's on my mind a lot, you see that you know, there's a possibility for these guys to play if they play the right way, right? If they play consistently with each other, that, you know, they could be a good squad, you know what I'm saying? Not great, you know, still lose a lot, right? But you know, them having a core, even without, let's say, Porzingis there, they could be a very good team. Very, you know what I'm saying? They could be a good team and a very good team in the future. It's just, you know what I'm saying, some things that getting away, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's some of it is players, some of it is the obvious, you know, positioning of, you know, we got enough money to not play Mario Hezonja. You know what I'm saying? The argument I get is, okay, Hezonja has already been in the league, you know what I'm saying, some odd years, and we already know what he got. Right, but you paid him 6.5 to do what? You know, and I got to go back, and I think it was Dom that said, you know, look, it's a whole lot of money to be made, and somebody is going to get the money, right? But everybody don't get 6.5. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I needed somebody to sit down and tank, you know, I could pay everybody 1.5 or 75, like you paying. Well, you know, Dotson is making about 1.5 a year. You start them for 1.5 a year. So you want to see, you know what I'm saying? Me personally, I want to see Mario play. I want to see him do everything. Have I seen enough? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not acting like the guy is going to be, but you know what? What I haven't seen is him play the one. I would love to see Mario play the point guard position. You know what I'm saying? I think he's capable. I think his aggression actually fits that spot. You know what I'm saying? You know, like he's a good shooter. You know, a decent shooter. You know, he has all the skills. He can handle. He's athletic. He's all of this. I think he would be perfect for the one. You know, and he's big, so he could take. And you know, maybe not Simmons, right? But some of your other taller guards in the league, he could handle that pressure, you know. Kanter, heart and soul of the team and blah, 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 and he's all we got and DDD. I'm like, now he's a sideways cancer. You know what I'm saying? He already knew he was coming in, you know what I'm saying, into a rebuild, a straight rebuild. No sideways, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do a rebuild. I don't know why he thought, you know, he would have been able to just, you know, start and do what he do and get his little 14 and 11 and make an all-star team, which he wasn't going to do. You know what I'm saying? Not being, you know, like out of 60 centers, being like the second worst out of all of them, you know. Like, I don't know how he thought he was going to make an all-star team with, you know, having that kind of stat on him, you know. But, you know, so, you know, my point is, man, you understand, like, it's hard to watch, okay? I saw the stat line on the Denver game, and I didn't see the Denver game. You know what I'm saying? I'm preparing the party and all of this, that, and the third.
I thought it was a good game.
No, and I heard it was. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's, you know, I went around the boards. Everybody was like, a lot of cats had some good games. They fought. But we've seen those kind of games from the Knicks this year. Gritty play, close games. Oh, we could have won. You know what I'm saying? Everybody played decent. They played hard. I'm good with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm good with the team. And again, you know what? I got to give credit to one of the guys on here, and I think it might have been Dom again. I used to be for tanking. You understand what I'm saying? Until he convinced me he was on some dog. It don't produce a winning situation, not within the heart and or mind of the player. You know, that was brilliant. You know what I'm saying? And not, you know what I'm saying? And again, I coached my, you know what I'm saying, my son here and there, and still didn't have that mindset. And it was just so clean cut and clear why that was absolutely right. So, you know, my thing is, I want them to play right. That's all. I don't care about, like, the W's, okay? I don't want to see Dotson on the bench passing Gatorade when he should be in the game. I don't want to see Frank passing the ball when he shouldn't be in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not playing right. You're not playing right. And it hurts. And again, I missed a really good game, right? Because I'm trying to get my little recipes right. You know what I'm saying? To get my little guests ready for, you know what I'm saying, for New Year's festivities. You know what I'm saying? So I chose that over watching the game. And I missed a good game. You know what I'm saying? So I just want the brothers, man, to play right, man. I need the front office to get out of the way, because, you know, it baffles me how you got so much money that you can actually do things like this and say, for two players, okay? You know what I'm saying? We're talking about Barrett and Zion. And I'm not even sure about Zion being a franchise changer.
Yo, hold that thought, Mr. Live, because you had a lot to say. We want to soak that in. Let's see what Dom has to say on a lot of your points. And Dom, anything else you want to bring on with the Knicks, the NBA, anything else around sports, and we'll get to Chim and then go back to you, Mr. Live. Dom, give us your thoughts on the Knicks, NBA, all that shebang. Anything else you want to bring up that's not even our squads, so on and so forth, and then we bring on Chim.
Here's the funny thing. While Mr. Live may have echoed a lot of what I've been saying, what Mr. Live said is right. Come on, guys. Pop Warner, Little League Baseball, DYA. We're coached, and our mindset is to win. I understand what people say about not whether you win or lose, and I always had that mentality, and why have a scoreboard? You know, if you're not trained to win, you're not going to win. And the Knicks just don't build to win. I've been going over this in my head for I don't know how many days, Steve. In 5 years, we have a total of 234 L's.
Wow.
And you talk about rebuilding. Tell me when you hear the other side of this, we're not going to buy into spending money on free agents. Who the hell did we spend money on during that time frame on free agents? We extended Melo. He ended up getting shipped out. So we didn't spend money. We got a decent pick in Porzingis, a question mark in Ntilikina, another question mark in Knox. Some may say these are good pieces moving forward, but I think we've seen enough of Ntilikina, to be honest. So we got gypped in two out of those three drafts. But 244 L's, guys, in 5 years. And we have not built nothing yet. And now the Knicks organization is going to tell us again, we're going to do this from scratch. We're going to form a culture. We're going to go with youth. We heard this with Phil Jackson. We heard the same story with Phil Jackson. And we never get quality. Never. And Mr. Live makes another great point. With Cantor, we had this conversation, Steve. I think Chandler always brings it up. This has been our MO on how we treat vets. So you take what they do to vets, and then you want to try to sell. It's not bad enough that we got 234 L's in 5 years, but you think people ain't seeing how we treat these vets? Most of them we get for the like a college player, a one and done. Come on, we'll give you $2-3 million, play for us a year. When the you know what hits the road, we're gonna sit you on the bench because we're going to, again, play the young players. And, again, guys, me and you had this conversation, Steve. What are we seeing out of these young players when they're not ever in meaningful games? This is a new low, Steve. Me and you had this conversation right around January 20th. I start looking for spring training, and this is a new low. We was talking about this in December. They didn't even make it to mid-January. Stop. This is becoming more than embarrassing. I don't care what you got on that court. 9 wins in the National Basketball Association is unacceptable. And in the Eastern Conference, we got 3 teams, fellas, in the Eastern Conference that would be in the playoffs today with an under 500 record. But you've got the naysayers that'll say, well, if you're an 8 seed, you're going to be one and done. Well, you know what? You're showing something. You're showing these young players something. Hey, winning does matter. This selling them on, this is the mecca. Again, I hate to keep saying this. We mentioned that. That ship has sailed. That ship is long gone.
Nobody's coming here to play for this fiasco. I don't care how much cap space you got. And you see how the Knicks front office has even wiggled on that. It wasn't a minute ago. Oh, we're going to use our cap space. We're going to lure free agents. And then they slip right back like you're not paying attention. Huh? You know, we're going to go from the ground up, some youth, and they're trying to make you think, okay, we're going to do this. But you told us this 5 minutes ago. Now you're telling us this because the light bulb went on. And they started thinking, 9 wins. Ain't nobody coming here. And if they do, guys, let's be honest. If somebody does come here, they're coming for the money. Because mm-hmm. we're not showing them winning.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? We're going to sell mm-hmm. them on, join this fiasco, and you're going to be the difference? Come on, man. It's Steve, I've never in my life been so disinterested in the Knicks in December. I know we've had some hard times. But in December, and then that's when I started going back to the losses within 5 years and the money we spent on free agents, wasting money, as these people would say. Don't waste the money. Hold the money. Hold the cap space. For what? What, do you get a bonus if you have extra cap space at the end of the year? These teams that are making the playoffs and making runs for it, show me one of them that are not paying that tax for blasting out the salary cap. Show me one of them. Show me one team that did not make it to the what we would call the Final Four in the NBA, that their team didn't blast out the salary cap. Maybe Boston. The rest of them blowing out the salary cap. The Cleveland Cavaliers probably spent more money on a basketball roster than the damn Yankees almost spent on a baseball roster. But you know what? It produced results. Okay, they might have lost in the finals. You know, we sit and we laugh at teams like Toronto. Oh, they can't get by Cleveland when they had LeBron. But they gave their fans something, man. You know, getting to the second round conference finals, that's no walk in the cake. You're playing the same team every night. They know you. You know them. But, damn, you're showing these young players. And Toronto had some young players. Van Fleet, hey, we're in this to win this. We're not in here just to try to, you know, garner some draft picks. Because guess what? Now you're talking a few more years down the road. And more years down the road. And the bottom line is, guys, and I don't mean to sound like this. I love the Knicks. I am a Knicks fan. But this just hasn't worked. I don't even know what could possibly change this around unless some player in the NBA decides, you know what, I really want to do help the Knicks try to rebuild. But who is that guy? And who is that guy that's not going to be 30, 31, 32 years old that's got some wear and tear on him? Yeah, he might be a star now, but how long is he going to be a star? Or how long is he going to get fed up with this? It was only a minute ago we were saying, man, Cantor's that rah-rah, boom-bye guy. This is great for a team like the team we have. And now all of a sudden, he's getting that MSG, New York Knicks, veteran dispreference. So I don't know where it ends, Steve, guys. But all I know is at the state we're at right now, it's really sad, man. Like, I'm trying to figure out. I think it's like 30-something days maybe till pitchers and catchers report. Because this has been a wash, and this has been what it's been for 5 years, just not this early. And keep in mind, guys, before I go, it was only 4 years ago we lost a record-setting 65 games. And, yes, we are on pace to do that again. That is embarrassing.
Right, right. All right, Don, stay right there because I want to get your thoughts, not only just with our Knicks, but around the rest of the league and other sports as well. So I definitely want to get your opinion on a lot of stuff in sports because this is going to be our first this is our first episode back, and I want to really, really talk all sports, of course, with the Knicks leading off. But Chandler, what was your thought? Welcome back, Chandler. Night, Chandler 7. What was your thoughts, what you saw with the Knicks, even in the losses? You saw any progress with Knox, Trier, Moutier? Like, what did you see in that Denver game if you watched it? The Utah game was terrible. I think a lot of Knicks fans turned it off, and the Milwaukee game before that. But Chandler, welcome back. What's your thoughts on the Knicks and anything in the NBA, and then we'll go back to Mr. Live as well.
Well, Knick-wise, I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about they see development because Knox is scoring points. To me, that's not – I don't look at – okay, you're scoring points, but I don't see this development. Are you developing winning habits? And I don't see that. I don't see winning habits with this team. The Denver game was a good game. And then once again, mistakes and poor, you know, bad possessions and just a lack of knowing how to win throughout the team as well as the coaching staff resulted in a loss again. I don't call that development. You know, no, you're not going to win every game. And yeah, saying it's not how you, it's not whether or not, it's not whether you win or lose, how you play the game. You say that when you have a winning culture, and you say that when you know that more often than not you're going to win. So when you have a game where you lose but you played well, then you can say, okay, you know, but we did everything right. Sometimes the other team is just better. We can't say that because we very rarely are doing everything right. So I'm not, you know, again, with Moody, I'm not going to give this coaching staff credit for the light coming on for Moody in his fourth year, okay? This is his fourth year. This is about when, if you're going to have the light come on, it should come on. That's why I'm not willing to give up on Frank yet, simply because for most guys that are not just straight-out superstars, it takes them 3 to 4 years to figure out how to be a professional basketball player. So Moody is in his fourth year, finally, about his fourth year. We're seeing the light come on, and they finally got it. Okay, that's great for them, but both of them probably may not be here next year. You know, I look at the Sacramento Kings, man. Let me just give you some names real quick, okay? Marvin Bagley, Nemanja Bjelica, Bogdan Bogdanović, Willie Cauley-Stein, Yogi Ferrell, De'Aaron Fox, Winyon Gabriel, Harry Giles, Buddy Hield, Justin Jackson, Costa Kupos, Scalabissiere, Frank Mason, Ben McLemore, Zach Randolph, Amon Shumpert, and Troy Williams. Are you going to tell me that team has more talent than the Knicks? Yet they have how many more wins than us? They've almost doubled us in wins. They're a team that's developing, but they're winning. So you can develop and win. They're not mutually exclusive. And that's what this organization keeps trying to feed me. I got people trying to feed me this nonsense that you can't develop and win. See, developing means developing a winning culture. So I'm not buying that this is a developmental season when you're losing games. I'm not buying it when I'm watching teams with less talent than the team that I root for win games with a bunch of guys that, let's be honest, if they were here, everybody would be calling them bums. I remember when Ben McLemore was considered a bust, Scalabissiere, whoever thought he was any good? Yet he's playing on a winning team and contributing to a winning team. Funny how that works. But, you know, Dom and Miss Lab said it, a lot of it, you know, once again, we're doing the thing with the veterans. You know, Courtney Lee, come on, man. Really? Let that man go. Cut him. I don't care. Let that man go. Let him go somewhere so he can actually not waste the last years of his career. Let him go. I don't even like Courtney Lee. Let the man go. Because what they're doing to him is criminal. It's criminal what they're doing to him. And this is Steve Mills. I'm not even putting this on the coaching staff anymore. This is organizationally. This is the organization, once again, screwing over veterans and telling me that you're going to get a prime free agent. But this is typical Knicks. It's January, and we're having the same conversation we've been having for how many years? If I look around the league, the thing I find the most interesting is what's going on in Philly. Because suddenly Ben Simmons is a problem. It's funny how everywhere Jimmy Butler goes, suddenly there's a problem on the team. It's funny how that works for me. Okay? It's funny how that works. And it's always somebody else, but it's never him. But he's the common denominator. I'm watching what they're doing in Philly because I think they're about to screw that up. I really do. I think they're about to screw that thing up in Philly something awful. But that's what I guess what I'm looking at around the NBA that's most interesting to me right now is the situation in Philly, because that's about to be that's about to get ugly.
Before we go back to Mr. Lott, let's really look into because I was going to use that Sacramento Kings example, because I watched a lot of their games, but several of their games the last couple of weeks. They had a nice buzzer beater win over the Lakers recently without LeBron didn't play. They gave the Warriors fits. Do you do you think the Knicks talent wise is that much better than the Kings? I think it's close. I think because they have guys who played in college who were National Player of the Year candidates. They got national champions on that roster with Justin Jackson. You know Willie Cauley-Stein was a decent college player. Frank Mason III, like you said, De'Aaron Fox, Shumpert's there. Buddy Hill, who was an excellent college player his last year in Oklahoma. I mean, I think they got a nice core of young players, but they were also players that went deep into the tournament. And to me, I thought they were – it's good to see them take the step in the direction. But my question is, do you think they're – you think the Knicks talent-wise is more a lot more better than the Kings?
I would say yes, but with a qualifier. Like, let's take Buddy Hield. This is what his second or third team already. Somebody had already given up on him. Yes,
he was on New Orleans, and I think. He was on New Orleans, I think, first. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at some of that, Ben McLemore, what is this, his second or third team? If you look at some of the young guys, these are guys that were drafted high, but if they had been on the Knicks, we've already been claiming these guys were the worst players ever. Is it a huge gap in talent? No, but would I take, say, Kevin Knox over most of their small forwards? Yeah, I would. Talent, just on sheer physical talent, yeah, I probably would. Guard-wise, I'd probably take De'Aaron Fox over. I'd take him over Frank. Would I take him over Moutier right now? I don't know. Would I take him over Trier? Probably not. You understand what I'm saying? So when I look at a position by position, you know, throw in Porzingis, okay, even though he's not playing, throw in Porzingis. Okay, if you don't want to throw him, throw in a Cantor. You're going to tell me that Cantor's not a better low-post option than just every big man they got? He absolutely is. You know, so when you really look at the talent level, it's not a huge disparity, but I would say the Knicks have more physical talent, you know, and as well as guys, and we have just as many guys who were considered busts as they do, guys who were considered, hadn't lived up to their draft, let's say draft, haven't lived up to their draft status. Guys who hadn't lived up to their draft status. So why are they winning and we're not? And they clearly came into the season saying that they were into developing. They weren't really looking at we're not talking about championships, none of that. They were talking about, listen, we want to develop a winning culture. Why is this so different for them than for us? And again, I would say if we really went position by position, you would probably take more of the Knicks guys than you would their guys.
All right, cool. Hold that, because I'm going to get back to Dominic on that as well. But let's go back to Mr. Live. Mr. Live, what about the recent play of these players? And I think this is a carryover to what Chandler's saying as far as why the Knicks can't get it together and some of these other teams, these younger teams, seem to have a little bit better flow on development with their roster than we do. Especially when the Knicks being in the East. So, we see all the scoring. But what I did notice in the Denver game in particular, like most Knicks games, they can't close out on defense. Like Kevin Knox has a terrible time with corner threes and defending that. I see interior defense is just lacking because we already know about Cancer. Volley here and there is okay, but there's no force. Nobody fears the Knicks going down low when they cut to the basket and get easy hoops or easy passes when people cut from the elbow. But Mr. Live, what other things have we not mentioned for the good or for the bad on this development with the Knicks? Is there anything around the rest of the league that you're seeing that you want to compare to the Knicks? Because I think Chandler used an excellent example of the Kings, because that was a team I've been keeping my eye on all season. What's your thoughts, Mr. Live? We'll go back to Dominic after that.
So basically Chandler hit it on the head with the analogy about the Kings. But getting into it deeper, it's X's and O's. You understand what I'm saying? What I tried to ease up into was the apparent tank. You understand what I'm saying? Because again, you're not playing your best eight, and I don't care how small you are, whatever the case may be, you're not playing your best eight. So you take a team like the Kings. Who are in a tougher conference out there in the West, right? But you have a franchise and an organization and a coach who's actually developing these guys to win. Fox is a beast, and I would definitely take him over Moutier. You know what I'm saying? So, but you know that in itself is again a testament to Chandler's analogy. You know what I'm saying? We're not developing. You know what I'm saying? Why sit a Dotson? Why sit a Burke? You know, why sit these guys and have these dudes playing these less minutes? And let's even put that aside, is why don't you have a core 6 or 7? You know half of these dudes are not going to be here because of the contract situation. You know, again, the dumbest point. You're trying to save money for what? What are you saving money for? You know, so again, I you know, what we're talking about now is X's and O's. You know, we know half of the games we've lost it because our Fizz made a gaffe. He didn't play this guy. He held this guy out too long. He put this guy in too. He played the wrong person on this guy at the last minute. We all know that. We all, like, you know what I'm saying, half of those gaffes is our Fizz's fault. Do we chalk that up to being a rookie coach? I don't. You understand what I'm saying? Not with him running that half Princeton offense the whole game, and to be a defensive guru or whatever, a defensive coach, why don't you know that you can't run, you know what I'm saying, any zone with Kanter as your anchor? And Kanter's moonwalking on every defensive play. He's not hedging. He's not even like reaching for the guy to help. You understand what I'm saying? He's horrible. All he's doing is moonwalking up under the basket. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, again, my thing is X's and O's. That's why we're not developing correctly. That's why other teams are, because again, they have a sense of purpose when actually are developing, and they're not positioning themselves for lottery status. You know, it's interesting to me, man. Why people are not taking like Toronto's kind of model? You know what I'm saying? Toronto. Like their whole premise is about developing a great bench. So if that five is off, I mean, you know, they spent a whole bunch of money on that starting five, man, but their bench could start in the league. You understand? So you know, that you know, that's what I'm looking at around the league, and you know, I got that Philly thing is a situation too, but I think that's more. That Philly thing got more to do with Embiid and Simmons than Butler. I think Embiid is not, you know, he knows that they got to slow it up when it comes down to his game, and Simmons can't slow it down because then he got to stand out there and shoot, you know, and he ain't got no room to just run and bully everybody up in the what's it called? Can we talk about Kanter and Antetokounmpo too? You know what I'm saying? Like, did I start hating Antetokounmpo?
What was your thoughts about that?
Did I start hating that man that game? Like, you know what I'm saying? Giannis was one of my favorite players until that play. I'm like, you know what? He does get away with that garbage. You know what I'm saying? Like, he Kanter should have got an award for that. That was the first time he ever played some damn defense. He ran it. He did not let him come into the paint. He ran into a brick wall. And he got thrown out for the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
know,
I'm like, you know, it's like, it was crazy.
It was. It's sad because today's NBA doesn't allow enforcement on simple defensive plays, which Kanter did. I don't think Kanter did anything wrong. And they really went overboard with it and throwing him out of the game. But I like that attitude out of Kanter. I really do. You know, it's the same thing last year with LeBron when he came to the Garden. Same thing. Sticking up for Frank and, you know, the anti – I would say an enforcer, but, hey, man, we ain't here to be messed with. And I like that attitude out of Kanter. And more of the reason I kind of am in favor, and I know he plays no defense, but with the right point guard and low post scoring, I mean, he did shoot easy layups. It's just defensively he's a hell of a liability. Dominic, anything else you'd like to add? Oh, Mr. Live, so you got any questions for Mr. Live or even Chandler comments, anything around the league. And also, I'm going to even take it there with your Jets, and I'm going to get the same thing from Chandler as well if you got anything about that. Yeah, we got to get some answers. I need some answers. I really want to get some answers on that. But anything, man, Knicks, NBA, around the sports, college football, all that stuff. And then we'll go to Chandler after that.
Here's the weird thing, Steve. It was only 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I brought up about the Kings. They're McLemore, Randolph, Shumpert. Maybe the only three guys on that 15-man roster that's got over three, four years in the league. So, yes, it's puzzling how they can do it, but we can't. But here's another, here's an even weirder one, guys. The Orlando Magic, another team that held on to some of their core players, brought in some veterans, and they're competing. By the end of the night, they may be the eighth seed, but they're competing. This is the part that throws me for a loop. You know what else the Knicks have that Sacramento don't have? The Knicks have 8 lottery picks on their team right now. So when you talk about development, we can't develop 8 lottery picks, and some of them, minus Frank Ntilikina, only in Phil Jackson's world, were highly touted. Moutier, Vonleh, Burke. We're talking about some highly touted guys. I've been over the shit with Burke, I don't know how many times. Mr. Ohio, Player of the Year, Consensus All-American, Bob Cousy Award winner, Final Four. You know, this guy was a proven commodity, but we can't develop them. So we're gonna say we're going to develop more players. We're gonna bring more young players in here and develop them. And they're dropping the ball with Knox as we speak. The kid has talent. But I think I said this before, and I hate saying I said something because that sounds so ugly. But he's starting to remind me of Carmelo Anthony. Shoot first, think later. Don't care where he's at. Shoot first. Take it. Whatever I'm doing, I got to shoot. I don't see him look past. His defense is catching up with Carmelo, even though he's 19. That's the good thing about it. But then again, guys, when we talk about development, are they developing this? Are they telling him this? Hey, man, you know, there's more to the game than just pulling up and shooting threes or trying to take your man off the dribble when there's 3 other guys guarding you. It's just reminded me of Melo, how Melo would get double and triple teamed and didn't have enough basketball IQ to know there's got to be 2 guys open. If 3 guys are guarding me, yeah, there's 2 guys nobody's checking. But this is the part of development. And the Sacramento Kings are food. If the Sacramento Kings, who are 19 and 18 as we speak, was in the East, they'd have 26 wins, maybe 27. They're playing in a tougher conference. But, see, that's the difference, and Chandler nailed it. When you preach we're going to win, we're not going into this thinking lottery pick. You know, they have talent. Let the talent shine, but the talent has to be coached. The talent has to be put in a position to understand the game, win the game, compete in the game. You bring up a great point, Steve. Buddy Hield, he was another one, lambasted. People look down at Buddy Hield because he did 4 years of college. But he came into the league mature, so he was able to take that first year and a half with his shot wasn't going down like it did at Oklahoma. But he was able to take that because he was a man by then. He was 22, going on 23 years old. He wasn't a 19-year-old, 18-year-old project. You can't teach talent. Buddy Hield could shoot, period, end the conversation. He could shoot. He shot in college. He's a shooter. Let's just put the cards on the table. Okay, he may have bounced around from a couple of teams. But guess what?
I thought he was only on one team. I thought he was just on the Pelicans.
I think New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah. But wasn't it like Drew Holiday in front of him? I mean, there was another guard on that. That was a mystery
in itself, Steve. It wasn't like he went to, let's say, Golden State or Boston where he had to vie for playing time. New Orleans wasn't that deep. Again, the guy was shooting in college. You brought it up, Steve. He's a shooter. Was he in a bad mix, a bad system? Well, seeing the way he's playing now, many would say, yeah. And that's
not to cut you off real quick. That Sacramento team, and this goes back to Chandler, they remind me of an AAU squad. Like, they're all about the same age. They probably, one of the reasons why they're meshing kind of well with their talent, because it's not like it's a lot of heavy veterans on that squad. It's like they all played with each other probably at one point even before they were on the Kings. So, you know, being the same age, you know, camaraderie. Now, the Knicks, there's a great points as far as a lot of busted lottery picks. But it seems like they fit better, and I think they get along better as well. And they're kind of more up and down as well. But go finish your point, and then we'll go back to Chandler. Then
another great thing, Steve, and you went over it earlier. These guys were runners up for Player of the Year, going deep in the tournament. So they knew about winning. They knew about winning, just like I said when I started. Little League Baseball, DYA, Pop Warner. You're trained and you're taught to win. You're not going out there to lose. Losing creates a bad taste in your mouth. We was taught this as kids. We're not going to get into going to war and you're taking on the enemy. Yes, you're trained to win that too. But our mindset from children has been to win. Win the girl, win the game, win the car, win something. You don't get nothing. You can't tell me who lost in the World Series 6 years ago. But I bet you could tell me who won. Nobody gets into losing the way the Knicks are doing it. And it's embarrassing. Like I said, 240-something losses in 5 years. And I mentioned this last year. In a 15-year span, the Minnesota Timberwolves had more wins than the Knicks. And guess what? They'll probably make the playoffs in the next 5 years more than the New York Knicks. And we laughed at them. We laughed at Sacramento. We laughed at Philly. We even laughed at Toronto, and we laughed at Toronto because they couldn't get to the championship. Really? And we can't get out our own way. And we're lambasting other teams. Oh, they couldn't get by Cleveland. We couldn't even make a 12 seed. And we're trying to parlay that into a team that's competing? Are we that far gone, Steve, as fans? Are we that far gone in feeding and buying into this garbage that we have been given for the last 20 years? We had 3 playoff appearances in 20 years and been out the first round once. In 20 years? Really? The Bulls sucked in the beginning of that 20-year span, got good, sucked again, and got good in this time frame that we continue to suck. Really? And now the icing on the cake, Sacramento? Whoa. Somebody really needs to sit back and say, you know what? We need to, when they talk about cleaning house, they need to clean house totally. Because there's too many remnants. There's too many ghosts in Madison Square Garden for the Knicks to actually feed this to people. I mean, I know that. Before I go, let me give you all a funny stat I read the other day. I wrote it down just for you guys. I do this shit because I ain't got nothing else to do. Listen to this, guys. Now, remember the record I gave y'all. The New York Knicks have the second most expensive NBA ticket price on the market for their home games at Madison Square Garden, averaging $190 per ticket, up 17% from last year. And they lost 53 games last year. And their ticket prices went up 17%. Really? Come on, guys. Come on. We're not that stupid. We are not that stupid. You know what they always say in politics and everything else? Follow the money. Yeah, follow the money. So you can't tell me that if teams that are nowhere near the Knicks with those prices, those scales, those increases can't blow out the salary cap to put a competitive team on that court. That's bullshit to the highest degree.
Any thoughts on the Jets real quick? Can we get an opinion? Then we can bring on Chandler real quick.
Oh, the Jets.
Real quick.
You know what, though? They need a good coach. And like the NBA, Steve, the NFL is becoming, because of the rules, is becoming a more offensive-driven league. You're getting away with murder on offense. So if the Jets are going to get a coach, let's try to get a young coach. I don't know who it is. at least get a young coach to mesh with that young quarterback, because the Jets don't have a lot of senior citizens on their team. They have a lot of voids they need to fill. But get a quarterback that has an offensive-driven mind to help this kid. If this kid is, I'm not going to say he's going to be the next Aaron Rodgers, but that Darnold is going to be, he's going to be a good quarterback. But if he's not given the right pieces, it's going to kill him. Just like me and you had this conversation, Steve. I love Barkley. The Giants, though I'm not a Giants fan, I still follow. The Giants got to do something to protect this kid. What this kid did with one of the almost probably at the bottom of the barrel offensive lines. I don't want to hear no more about Eli Mack. I don't want to hear that. Because if Barkley could do what he did with that offensive line, that blew the floodgates out for me with Eli. This kid is something special. But, like, the Jets have to put something around Darnold. The Giants got to put something around Barkley, or they're going to have a wasted running back. He may become the next Barry Sanders if the Giants go down this slippery slope. But the Jets are in a good spot. So are the Giants. They'll get a good draft pick. The Giants already have their coach. The Jets just need an offensive-minded coach, because this is what we have now. This is the new NFL. You've got to score. I'm not saying you got to score 54 points. No, let's not go crazy. But we all see the handwriting on the wall, guys. It's an offensive-driven league. They're letting you get away with murder, going down the field, the quarterback. So you need to adjust. And the Jets have that one piece right now that they can adjust around, and that's that quarterback.
All right, sounds good. Chandler, anything else you want to add with the Knicks, NBA? What's your thoughts on Alabama-Clemson, your Jets? And then we'll bring on Ab and get his thoughts on the Knicks.
Well, the Jets, McCagnan should have gone, as well as Bowles. You know I wanted Bowles going, but McCagnan should have followed him out the door. This nonsense that they're doing with the coach reporting to the owner, like the GM reporting to the owner, is never going to work. I don't care what coach you bring in. It's not going to work, because you're setting up a situation where you have two guys basically at odds. Because if I don't like what you're doing, I have a direct line to the owner now to say, hey, it's not my guys. It's not me. It's the GM. He's giving me bad players. And you got the GM saying, hey, I gave him good players. He can't coach. The coach is supposed to work for the GM. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's not going to work. And you're not going to get a good coach this way. Now, the guy I'd like to see them get is Eric Bieniemy. The nonsense that's floating where he doesn't call plays in Kansas City. Andy Reid has always called his own plays, but yet his offensive guys, offensive assistants, have turned out to be pretty good head coaches. Nagy, Peterson. So, yeah, I say give me Eric Bieniemy. If the Jets change the hierarchy, which they're not, so then it's going to be a waste of a coach. And I really need Jamal Adams to shut the hell up. I need Jamal Adams to shut up. Because I don't want to keep hearing that you're a leader, but all you do is constantly throw your team under the bus. I'm tired of hearing from this kid. I'm tired of hearing from you. We don't have this. We don't have that. What the hell have you done, Jamal Adams, that you get to just totally trash everybody else on the team? Because apparently you're the greatest player in the history of the world. Last I checked, Jamal Adams, yeah, he's okay. He ain't no Hall of Famer. He's been in the league 2 years. 2 years and on a losing team, but yet you're going to tell me you know what it takes to build a winning organization in the NFL when you've been on a losing team for 2 years. I need Jamal Adams to shut the hell up. I really do. I need him to shut up, or I need them to get rid of him, because I'm sick of hearing him. And stop telling me that's leadership. Leadership is not constantly blaming everybody else. Leadership is not saying, I confess they did it. That's not leadership. Okay, I'm sick of him. Sick of him. But until the Jets change how they do business with this hierarchy with the coach and the GM, it's not going to work. And McCagnan is a terrible drafter anyway. Because, listen, Sam Darnold was low-hanging fruit. And the other best draft pick he got is Leonard Williams, who I'm still waiting on Leonard Williams to have a good game. I'm still waiting on that. So I don't know how anybody – I can't really trust what's going to happen with the Jets right now with McCagnan making the draft picks, because the best wide receiver they got, honestly, was drafted by John Idzik, and that's Quincy Enunwa. Think about that for a minute. That's the best
wide receiver. He just got a nice little contract, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So McCagnan, the great drafter of talent, you're the best wide receiver you got was drafted by the bum GM before you. That says a lot to me about McCagnan. So I don't trust McCagnan to make the right draft. But the right draft pick, by the way, is Josh Allen from Kentucky. That kid is a monster. That kid is a monster.
Oh, we've been all over that, yeah.
I hope you watched the quarterback you guys should draft. Well, the two quarterbacks I think you guys should draft played this past weekend, Haskins and McSorley. McSorley is the guy I think fits perfectly with what Shurmur does. He's a good kid. He's smart. He plays for a terrible coach in James Franklin. So don't let that dissuade you when you see all the games that they lose that they should have won. That's more on the coach than it is McSorley. But he's a tough kid. He can play in bad weather. He's a smart kid. I think McSorley is a perfect fit for what Shurmur does. I think that'd be good for you guys if you don't take Haskins. But, hey, with the Jets, man, I just need Jamal Adams to shut the hell up.
Right, right. Cool. Shout-outs to Chandler. Shout-outs to Dom. Knickerbocker Avenue, welcome back. Started the new year, 2019. We were talking earlier, Av, even in the Denver loss, I thought the Knicks did look good. What was your thoughts on players? And there's been a heavy dialogue on player development. Also, if you get anything else from around the league, I know the games prior to the Denver game, the Utah game was terrible. Milwaukee game was bad in the second half. But, Av, what's your thoughts on last week with the Knicks? And, of course, if you got anything, your thoughts with the Yankees, I know you're a big Yankees guy, to Lewinsky, if you want to bring that up, and all the other stuff going on with the baseball squad. And then we'll go around for final thoughts with Mr. Live, Dominic and Chandler.
Gentlemen, good evening. Happy New Year to all of you. I apologize for my tardiness. I was attending a funeral, and I just got back. But that's another story. Look, the New York Knicks, last night against the Denver Nuggets, that was a gutsy game. The Knicks, you know, took it to them. For some reason, they kind of, like, match up well against the Denver Nuggets. I mean, the only thing that I saw that they really needed to clean up on was obviously defensive rebounding and, you know, pushing up the tempo, because I think that they had the Nuggets on their, you know, on their heels enough that they could have honestly have put up, you know, taken them out a little bit. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, you have to commend them for what they are. The Utah game, obviously, I didn't even watch it because once I checked the score, I checked in late and it was like around the second quarter and they were already down like 20 something. I was like, all right, I'm not going to bother because this is going to put me in a bad mood and ruin my weekend. You know, I hope everybody enjoyed their holiday season, and I just didn't want to add to that by watching the Knicks getting humiliated and disgraced all over the Delta Center in Utah. It made no sense for me. Milwaukee game, great first half, horrible second half. They just never got back into it. They couldn't. Milwaukee made some defensive adjustments, and the Knicks just didn't respond. They were just kind of coasting throughout the whole thing and going through the motions. And that's something that, you know, that both Chandler and Dominic, and I'm sure anybody else who's been listening to us, been talking about it when they're talking about player development. It's kind of like, you know, a nice word for saying we're tanking the season. It basically what it sounds like to me, because, I mean, I called it, you know, before the end of the new year, before we went on the holiday break, that the Knicks were tanking. And now if you look at it, it's even more evident. And it looks like the team, the organization, hell, you can tell from the analysts and the sportscasters that this team is so much of a lost season, and all we're caring about is these little victories. Oh, Kevin Knox had a great game. Oh, what superb play from Noah Vonleh. He just gives you his all. What a great game from Neal Aquino or this guy or that guy. And it's like these little victories mean nothing if it doesn't affect the win-loss column. You know, 9 victories in how many games we played now? 30, almost 40 games? And it's – I mean, come on now. But I'm not going to get into the negativity again, because it seems like we keep on rolling around this really bad mantra of ours that, you know, the leadership has to change, everything, your whole organization has got to change. So let's just go on to the, you know, thank you, Steve, for allowing me to, like, talk about the Yankees, because that seems to be like the only thing that makes me feel good. So they signed Troy Tulowitzki, to a minor league deal. He's going to play some shortstop for us while Didi Gregorius is recovering from Tommy John surgery. I don't think it's a bad look. I think it's actually a pretty good look. I mean, I would have liked to have Tulowitzki a couple of years ago, but, I mean, hey, it's never too late to, you know, and now he can actually say he played the same position that his hero, Derek Jeter, played, which is actually kind of cool to look at. We'll just see how that happens. I know the Yankees have been meeting with Manny Machado, and for the life of me, the Yankees need to stay the hell away from Manny Machado once and for all. If I don't care how low he goes, if he signs a 5-year, $30 million contract, which I know it's ridiculous, but you know this talk of adding Manny Machado, a player of his caliber who does have talent, but basically is just not the guy that exudes that, you know, that New York Yankee culture and mentality and that philosophy. I just don't see how that happening, how that would work. And with free agency, you know, still, you know, kind of at a standstill, considering that Machado and Harper have not signed anywhere yet. Frankly, the only thing that I want to see the Yankees do is just add more starting pitching. Pitching. I mean, yeah, we can add a reliever or two and fortify that bullpen. I mean, but the bullpen is always going to be there. It's always going to be efficient because they just have that good. You know, I think Sharkey's still down there, and he, for some reason, when he's down there, the bullpen gets pieced together no matter who the manager is. It worked for Girardi. It ends up working now for Aaron Boone. It should work. I don't have a problem with the bullpen. They need starting pitching. They need to get some guys who can eat innings and keep the game, you know, keep the game within reachable distance, so that way your offense that features a former American League Rookie of the Year, a former National League MVP, and Lord knows who they add up. If they end up getting Harper or they end up getting Machado, you already have such a strong offense on there that the Yankees really need to just keep themselves in the game on the defensive side of the ball. They need pitching. I would like to see them add a backup catcher. Maybe possibly getting Gary Sanchez to move to first. But if they're trying to suck Harper into that, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I have faith in Brian Cashman to make the right decision. I don't want him to get Machado, but if he ends up getting Machado and he gets him at a reasonable price, you know, not that 10-year, $300 million that he was originally asking for, then by all means, let's get do it. But he really needs to focus on the starting pitching rotation. I just don't see how you can just rest your laurels right now on the way it's made up right now. It's only a matter of time until Tanaka's elbow will hold up. CC only, I mean, come on, he's the grand old man of the Yankees right now.
Not to cut you off, we're running out of time. So we're going to come back to you real quick. Mr. Lab, real quick, final thoughts. Give us about 10 seconds, then we'll get the Dom and Chandler as well. 10 seconds, final thoughts, Mr. Lab, on this episode.
Yeah, man, Happy New Year, man, everybody, man. Let's hope, you know, by the trade deadline, man, after the trade deadline, we get into some serious development, true development of these players, man. Other than that, man, y'all have a good year, man. You know, blessings to all of y'all.
Shout out to Mr. Live, man. Thank you very much. Dominic, final thoughts. 10 seconds. Give it about 10 seconds.
Mac and Barkley in the backfield for the Giants. Oh, we are Penn State. And one thing, guys, there's an old saying. If you could get a talent like Machado, you get him. Those pinstripes will make him act a different way.
All right. Shout out to Dominic. Thank you very much. Chandler, final thoughts. 10 seconds.
Yeah, we need Dallas Keuchel at this point.
All right. Night Chandler 7. Thank you very much. Av, go back to you. Final thoughts. 10 seconds. 10, 15 seconds.
The Knicks need to stop BSing people about player development and tell us to tank. I hope they do something worth mentioning in the trade deadline. Move Kanter, Courtney Lee, whoever, do something. And leave Blue all day, every day. Sangre Azul, 24/7. Happy New Year, guys. I'm out.
Happy New Year to everybody, man. Mr. Live, Dominic Chandler, Knickerbocker Avenue, signing off. Sangre Azul.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed Blue.